is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Escape on a vacation unlike anything you've ever imagined with one call to the experts at Cruise One Land and Cruise Travel. Prices have never been better. Mexico and the Caribbean are offering great vacation deals. Cruise lines have special promotional packages, and the cities of Europe are awaiting your arrival. Work with a travel agency that has your best interest in mind, all without any service fees. We are ready to arrange both your personal and business travel plans. Contact Cruise One Land and Cruise Travel today at 1-800-609-3012. That's 1-800-609-3012. Or visit justgreatvacations.com and get ready to discover the world.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. Also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on. We have a great show for everybody today. We're going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving and getting ready for the big holiday, the big turkey day, as I like to say. And we also are going to follow up with the question that was from a mom about her 12-year-old daughter who was diagnosed with high-functioning autism, and she was having a hard time with taking showers or baths. And she's been having a lot of hygiene issues with her as well. And she says the only way she could get her to take a shower or bath is by using special soaps, such as ones like characters in movies, such as Ice Age. And she was wondering if others could relate to this problem. She's a big fan of the show, and she's hoping we could address it. We did kind of mention this the other week on the program, if you remember, Lynn.
Yep.
And so we just wanted to give it a little more time with this question to one of our listeners who was nice enough to write in and also call into the program.
Okay. I had somebody who responded to the question who also has a high-functioning daughter who said her daughter, she didn't take a shower from this June till October, and she would only go in the sea or the lake. Now that fall has arrived, we're in for a ton of screaming each time, and only dad can do this with her. Sorry, I don't, okay. So I just wanted this person that wrote in to know that she's not alone. There are other people who struggle with this issue, and that was one of the women that I spoke with. And then we got some professional opinions about how to handle autism behavior with personal hygiene. And I guess we can talk about some of the issues that they have and, you know, some suggestions. It says, why is the autism behavior so difficult for personal hygiene? Kids with autism do not pick up on social cues, so the usual peer pressure that gets most kids to do these things do not work with a certain age. Some other big reasons, many kids of autism behavior can be traced back to sensory reasons, and I think you and I have spoken about this before on the show. A lot of kids have sensory issues who have autism. Brushing their hair might hurt their head. The spray of the shower is very uncomfortable. So that may be why that mom is having a hard time giving her daughter a shower, just so she understands what it might feel like for the daughter. Toothpaste might be weird, and putting something in their mouth induces some gag reflex. Deodorants sometimes have a perfume smell and feel weird. There are many sensory issues with children with autism experience that they want to avoid these hygiene-related behaviors, and the trick is to find ways around them. So we've got some suggestions as to how to do that. Make cleanliness part of their routine from the time they are very little. Okay, have baths the same time every day. Introduce teeth brushing and hair brushing from an early age. And make baths fun and exciting for the child. I would suggest that mother, if she knows this, well, what would be done? And let her play in for a while. Make it a fun experience for her. Sort of like the toileting thing. I think actually I remember people telling me make it a fun, you know, experience, you know, because that's always a huge issue for parents with kids with autism. And, you know, you want to make it something that they have fun and it's a pleasant thing. You don't want to be struggling with them over it. Make sure that your child understands the relevance of hygiene activities. Now, with a high-functioning kid, I guess you can do this. This would not work with, like, a lower-functioning kid, but explain that if they want to have friends, they must shower and use deodorant because no one else will want to be around them otherwise. So let them have control over picking out their hygiene products, and that's what we had suggested. Let her use the soaps. Let's see. Deodorant, try to find an unscented natural deodorant so that it's, you know, it's not affecting them as much with the smell. Toothpaste, many kids complain about strong tasting toothpaste. Most types of toothpaste are mint flavored, but not all. Tom's of Maine makes a strawberry flavored one. You can get fine fluoride or fluoride free. Whole Foods, large selection of products, so you can do different things with toothpaste.
Right.
I know issue some kids have is with the whole, you know, the whole routine of toothbrushing and alone is a very difficult procedure for them, you know, fine motor wise, and also the whole spitting out. I mean, it's a lot involved there, you know.
Right, absolutely. I mean, you know, what they say, most doctors and scientists have come to a conclusion that many individuals that have Asperger's usually suffer from a lot of sensory sensitivities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, particularly with tactile sensitivities.
That's interesting.
It's basically like the nervous system of Aspies is always on high alert, and their brain interprets his touch in a lot of unexpected ways. Like, for example, like in being calmed by a gentle hug, they actually might become agitated or tense.
And
sometimes even anticipated before being touched can even trigger a meltdown with a child with Asperger's.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
And you were talking about deodorant. They say, you know, deodorant can be discomfort for many kids because with a lot of children that have Asperger's, the shock of the cold spray on a warm armpit coupled with a quite high-powered aerosol spray can definitely bring alarm. And that's why, you know, you were talking about deodorants with strong scents, which can bombard their sensories, many Aspies. And, you know, they have a fear of closing their eyes. Like, for instance, if you're trying to wash their hair, a lot of times they're afraid of shutting their eyes because they actually have anxiety from that because they feel like they feel the potential of maybe falling over by closing their eyes. And this was all stuff that was shared by Dr. Stephen Shore, who's such an expert in the autism field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he talks about a couple of different things, like getting dressed. You know, we talk about things like loose fitting clothes might be better. Whereas if shirts that have skin tags or labels scratching, you know, clothes that are too stiff or too tight might be uncomfortable. You know, you talk about brushing teeth, obviously the taste, but even kids have said they experience a burning or stinging feeling, especially if their gums are sensitive or teeth.
Yeah.
Even combing their hair, you know, that could be a challenge because their scalp is very, very sensitive.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, all these things are very, sensory oriented, and that's probably why this mother is having a difficult time and she's alone. You know, we always want to let people know they're not alone. A lot of people who have children with high-functioning autism that have the same type of experiences, and it is difficult. Something I was reading about with the shampoo and soap, does your child find body wash easier to deal with than soap, or do they think it feels slimy? Experiment, try different types of soaps. Try to avoid synthetic soaps for those who are sensitive to artificial fragrances.
Right.
Okay. Other tips, make sure some kids do best with visual references. Make a chart of things to do. Brush teeth, brush hair, shower. I think probably most parents listening to this would understand if they have a child with autism, they usually have a picture schedule of, you know, how the child should do it every day and get into a routine of having them do those things every single day, so it becomes part of it.
Yeah, it becomes a routine.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things one parent told me many years ago to help me with Jonathan, I remember with washing his hair, you know, he was fearful of getting soap in his eyes, and she gave me a great idea of using goggles just to protect his eyes from shampoo in the water.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, actually, too, how sometimes something so simple that you just don't think of as a parent, maybe a behaviorist or a specialist can come in and just give you a suggestion, or even another parent, for that matter,
yeah.
And come in and you hear it and you're like, oh, well, I didn't think of that. I mean, I know that with my kids, they don't like the for some reason, the sound of turning on the water is very strong, you know, when you turn the knob on and the bath water is very strong, and they both seem to, I don't know what, you know, that bothers them. You know, they get freaked out by the water, the sound of the, you know, the shower. You know, everybody's different, you know. You never know
yeah.
how it's going to
no,
affect.
No, it's true. And also, you know, some kids, yeah. you have to worry about the temperature of the water. Make sure the temperature
sure.
is,
yeah.
you know, is yeah. not, you know, too variation. It gets hot, gets cold, you know. So you got to kind of keep it more consistent, you know. You know, some things like using a soft bristled electric toothbrush and make sure your toothpaste is bland. And also you were mentioned something about some brands of toothpaste. Those are some mm-hmm. great brands. You were mentioned Tom's is very good. But, you know, let your kids try different ones. You know, sometimes you can go to like a CVS or Rite Aid and go to the travel section and buy the little travel tubes of
yeah.
toothpaste. And sometimes they have them. Or you can even sometimes go online and order a sample. And this way you can try different toothpaste and not spend, you know, $4 or $5 on a bottle, you know,
right.
toothpaste that's going to, you know, be thrown away or wasted. So, and also, you know, showers can be really good. I know I like to use the handheld shower with my son. It saves a little bit of time. It saves water also, you know, rather than baths for younger kids sometimes.
Yeah, I know also sometimes they say to start these hygiene, you know, before puberty, because you want to get them into the routine. I mean, I know with, you know, to start it like maybe around 10, you know, or a little bit earlier so that they get into the routine. They might not have body odor at that point, but it doesn't matter. At least by the time they're a teenager and they are hitting puberty, they already are into, you know, used to this whole routine of like, you know, putting the deodorant on, taking a shower every day, brushing their teeth, you know. It says, of all things, be consistent, stick to a routine, explain the relevance, take into consideration sensory issues, and give as much control as possible of the process to the child. I think that's key there. Learning personal hygiene is very important for those with autism and is one autism behavior that can become a problem throughout life if you don't address it early, and I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to really nip this in the bud and make sure that, you know, it really, unfortunately, it does really, you know, fall onto the parent's shoulder. But you want to address the issues before the child gets older, and it's, you know, then it's more and more difficult as they get older to explain these things to them or to change the routine, so to speak.
I mean, I think if the, you know, specialized soaps for a particular mom, I know we mentioned this before, is working for, then, you know, stick with what works. Why change
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think so too.
You know, I don't see a problem. I mean, I'm guessing maybe, you know, because the child's 12 and they're thinking, well, he should be outgrown. That
maybe,
kind of stuff,
yeah.
maybe, you know, but you know what? You can gradually do that, maybe.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to necessarily stop using that right away, I think.
Right.
That's just, you know, my view on it. But like I said, I think if you're able to wash your child and that's what works, then you got to do what works sometimes.
Right. Sometimes they need a little incentive to any child.
You know, I had to use an extra towel for my son every time I showered him because he wanted to wipe his face. If any water hit his face, he had to wipe it off. So I used to have to keep a towel around my neck so that he would use it. So,
right.
you know what? If that's what's going to help him, knowing that he has that security blanket and it helps
security.
Me get through
now, does he still
the
use
shower.
Goggles, or he doesn't use the goggles anymore?
Sometimes
okay.
he does.
But, yeah, I mean, it sometimes, too, they like if you just get them into it and then once they adjust, you don't have to use those props anymore. You don't have to
right.
bribe them. You know what I mean? It's just, just getting
it becomes
them into
natural.
It and getting
yeah.
the routine.
That's it. You got to do it every day. You got
right.
to make it a consistent thing.
And a fun thing.
And help them with their hygiene. You have to help them. I mean, you know, they may not
Definitely.
Understand
yeah.
it right away, and it just takes some, you know, consistency of showing them the right way. And and almost have like a protocol. Maybe you make a chart for them. If they can read and, you know, write, you can put a little chart up there about what you need to do, you know, like almost like a checklist. Okay, did you wash your hands today?
Right.
Did you wash your hair? Did you brush your teeth? Did you put on deodorant today? Did you put on clean underwear? Like all these different things, you can make a checklist.
Yeah,
you know,
and the other thing is, you know, if a reward will work,
right,
reward the child.
Absolutely.
Like,
it could be a small reward.
Whatever it is, you know, just...
It doesn't have to be a monetary thing. It could just be like, okay, you get to watch the show you want tonight,
right,
or you get
exactly.
to do,
yes.
you know, you get to choose
totally
what you want for dinner, or something like
that. Totally get that.
So
I think we get a lot of suggestions there.
Yeah. And we just thank her for writing in and, looking for answers, and hopefully, like I said, we hit some issues for her that can help her, make this a little easier, the transition.
Right.
So, as we know, it can be challenging. Lynn, I want to start talking about one of our favorite times of the year. One of my favorite times of the year is Thanksgiving.
Mine too.
You know, we all have so much to be thankful for every year, especially, this day and age. The world is a real crazy place, but yet on Thanksgiving we come together with many of our loved ones, and we want to get together and have a nice day of bringing families together, and people that don't have families, we have some outreach and some programs that we used to work at the soup kitchen on Thanksgiving many years, and donated turkeys to the churches and stuff, and at least make someone's Thanksgiving, memorable and have a nice hot meal. So it's important that everyone comes together on that holiday, because it's one holiday a year that in this country, in the United States, that we all get together and celebrate giving thanks and making everybody feel welcome.
Yeah, I think it's actually probably one of my favorite holidays, if not the most favorite holiday. Even though I don't like the food, I'm not a big turkey fan, but just the fact that it's a United States of America celebration, everybody celebrates it. You know, whether you're what religion you are, no matter what faith you, whatever ethnic group, anybody born in the United
right.
States or who lives in the United States, I mean, Thanksgiving is just an all-American holiday, and you feel it. You know, it's just great. And you watch the Thanksgiving Day parade
yep.
and people coming from all over the country to celebrate. It's just a beautiful thing.
It
you
is.
Know? So,
it's great. It's just something really special. It's different than any other holiday. It really
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I think so.
But on that note, Thanksgiving, like obviously many holidays, can throw a child with autism into a sensory overload.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, we could be visiting a relative's home that's having a ton of guests, a lot of activity, and sometimes it can be hard for a child with autism. And there's some things that we can do to help make the day a little easier and hopefully calmer. Like we always talk about, your child needs to be in mind when you're planning the day. I think that's really key. And that's anything you do for that matter.
You have to plan.
Obviously, we're all looking... forward to seeing our relatives, obviously, from out of town. Maybe we haven't seen our family in a long time. We're having our large family, extended family. We're bringing everybody together in a packed house. But it can be hard for, my child and many other child, that are out there with autism, that it could end in a disaster potentially for both you and your child feeling frustrated and maybe even angry at the end of the day. But you want to try to think about a lot of alternatives, or at least spending the portion of the day with making some quiet activities, or even make visits a little shorter, okay? You want to make sure, first of all, that your child will eat well, okay? So if your child has any sensitivities for certain foods, you aren't sure what, if anything, if you'll eat, from anything from the Thanksgiving feast, you could also bring along some of his favorite foods if that works better. He might feel more comfortable knowing that his favorite foods are available, and you'll feel better knowing that he's going to eat, because that's important. I know for many, many years we used to do Thanksgiving, and my son didn't eat the typical Thanksgiving, so we used to bring our own stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, and this way he was calm, and he ate, and he had a full belly, and he was good.
Yeah, you can definitely, I don't think any parent should ever force a child to... if they're really, have an aversion to a food to take, maybe they could try to taste it or whatever. But if the kid really doesn't want to eat it, I think it's good to just have an alternative plan or, let them.
You just don't want to force them into it.
You don't want to force them, and you want to have an alternative for them so that they have something to eat when everyone else is eating the Thanksgiving dinner and they can still sit at the table or whatever or, eat the food. So, if that works for you at the beginning or when the child is young or forever for that matter, it's fine. I think the whole thing is, your child has to feel comfortable, and that's,
That's number one. That's the most important.
Right.
And I think if you're having it at your house, make sure your child has a getaway space too. Mm-hmm. If you're having a ton of family and friends over your home, you want to almost have his room that's off limits.
Right.
So that if he wants to go in there and have one of his favorite toys or books or iPad or DVD player, whatever it might be, can go in there and just feel comfortable without being overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I think also, some parents have suggested providing a schedule for your child. If you needed to use pictures, explain a general timeline, what time guests might be coming or what time they might be leaving or what time you're going to your relative's home. Giving them an idea what time dinner is, possibly. You just want to explain any changes in the routine ahead of time. And, of course, this is more for Asperger's and higher-functioning autistic children. Kind of give them a little bit more ideas of what
to
expect.
You can't even, for a lower-functioning child, you can show them pictures of
right, absolutely.
Relatives that are coming over. And even if they fully don't get, the whole thing that they're coming over, they just showing them, who's going to be in the house or who they're going to be seeing gives them some idea that something different is going to be happening that day.
If you have relatives that may not be around, you can ask them to send some pictures the day before so they get an idea
right.
who these people
right.
are. And you can talk to your child and say, this is your aunt so-and-so, this is your cousin so-and-so, and this is your family. And this is, you say it over and over and show it to them so that they have an idea and look at those pictures, and you can talk about expectations during Thanksgiving. If you expect your child to remain at the table throughout dinner, might want to be excused. Let him know ahead of time, if there are any rules that are different than your home. You want to make sure you talk to your child before arriving to someone's home, obviously. And you want to also, I think sometimes too, if it's in your own home, you don't want to rearrange your house too much, I think. Sometimes people go overboard,
right.
and that can cause stress for a child because they have comfort in their own home, and they know where their couch is, and they know where things are. And when you start moving things around, it can sometimes overwhelm them because it's a new mm-hmm. space.
Yeah, that's kind of a tough one because if you're, we usually have it in our house, and we have to have a whole extra table,
Right.
You're going to have to change, and that, totally throws my son off, but, like you said,
you don't want to go too crazy. Well, it's about going overboard, putting so much decorations out there. You want to try to keep it somewhat similar so that
right.
your child will feel more secure in their environment. I think that's really what it comes down to.
Right, right.
And then, of course, you're going to have relatives that don't understand anything about autism and might not even see your child or don't even talk to your child, and might even ask you about some of the odd behaviors your child may exist. Or exhibit, and this obviously you want to talk to them, and this, by talking to them, it could prevent them from being alarmed or taken back in middle of the festivities. And you want to just remember that Thanksgiving, most important thing we always say is Thanksgiving is a time for appreciation and giving thanks for all we have in our lives. And you want to just take the time to remind your child why we are thankful for him or her too. It's really important.
I love that to remind your child why you're thankful for him or her, because it is important to remember that a child with autism is still your child, and you still love them, and they are an important part of your family, no matter what.
Yep, absolutely.
And you want to try to include them and make them feel included and tell your relatives to make them feel included. It's so, so important to not ignore that child or to make them, you want to make them feel like this is their holiday too, and they should celebrate and they should be
absolutely.
With the family. I mean, and realize that they have limitations, but that doesn't mean that they don't feel love or they don't feel, if they are outcasted, unfortunately, they'll feel that too. So, it's important to say, look, we love you, and you're part of us, so.
Absolutely.
And I'm lucky. Like I said, my family is very accepting, and we've never, ever had an issue. All of his cousins and aunts and uncles and everybody accepts my son for who he is. So, you know, we're lucky that way. But there are, I've heard from other families, other people who have families say very cruel things, and it's hard to take that. You know, it's hard. It's unfortunate that some people have to deal with that. But it does come, you know, sometimes people just don't know.
Right.
It's called ignorance, I guess, what it is.
Well, that's why I think you have to, you know, if you know who's coming, you know, maybe they haven't seen your son in 5 or 6 years or your daughter in 5 or 6 years, and you might want to just tell them, like, you know, a little bit before they come over. That's all. And I think it's not a bad idea.
Right.
But either way, we just, you know, hopefully some of these tips will help you on Thanksgiving. You know, we want to wish everybody a great Thanksgiving. We won't see you guys or talk to you or hear from you until after Thanksgiving. So we just want to wish everybody, you know, a great Thanksgiving and enjoy your families and your loved ones and appreciate each other. You know, it's really, really important. And also by giving thanks, you know, you can make a great donation to autismradio.org as well to help a family in need. We have some great programs going on that definitely need your support every day. So you can make a kind donation before the end of the year, which is tax deductible. So if you're looking to do something special for someone, it's a great way to give back. So we hopefully hear from you and hopefully to receive some donations from you to help us continue our goals in helping others in the autism community. So we'd like to wish everyone a great week, as always, Lynn. And remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Goodbye, everyone.
Good night.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice and remember, hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. Then you are right by my side. I will love you to the end of time.